Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today.
She's so cool.
Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart.
And welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, our weekly programming coming arts events in Valparaiso and throughout Northwest Indiana. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Hey, babe, if you liked our theme music, that was by Billy Foster, sung by Renee Foster, our brand new musical theme, and they'll be appearing at The Nest pretty soon.
Next Saturday, August 24th at 6:30 p.m.
And we'll hit that with our arts events calendar, but here are underwriters for Art in the Air is Valparaiso University's Brower Museum and, of course, our landlord, Walt Breidinger. If you'd like to find out more about leasing space in this historic building, hey, give Walt a call at 219-462-5821. That's 219-462-5821. We always like to thank them for their generous support. We also like to thank Greg Kovach, WVLP's station manager, for getting us on the air.
Yeah, he's wonderful. Thank you, Greg.
You know, Art in the Air is now supported by the Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant through the South Shore Arts and the National Endowment for the Arts, a federal agency. So we appreciate that support, everything. Hey, if you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts-related event or exhibit, appear as anything, you can contact us at Art on the Air, WVLP at gmail.com. That's Art on the Air, WVLP at gmail.com. Hey, our programs, along with this, are live streaming at WVLP.org. Art on the Air is rebroadcast on Mondays at 5 p.m. If you missed this show, you can hear our show archive at breck.com/AOT. That's Breck, BRECH.com/AOTA. Also, we have a detailed arts events calendar there, too. So if you missed what we said on the show, you can go there. And we also have hyperlinks. Hey, our shows are also carried at WIUN Red Hawk Radio. That's IU Northwest Online Closed Circuit Station. And we appreciate that. Hey, speaking of that, we, you know, our community station, we are supported by you. And we're looking for support all the time, from individual listeners, for show-specific people, or station underwriters. We'd be happy to have become part of the WVLP family of supporters. And Esther and I would especially love it if you'd support Art on the Air directly. It'd be a wonderful thing. You can find out information about supporting it at wvlp.org/support. That's wvlp.org/support. We have underwriter levels at many different things. We'll mention you several times during an individual show or throughout the broadcast day, but we really would appreciate that. You know, don't just be a WVLP listener. Become a supporter or underwriter, whatever amount you can. And like I say every week, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. And you'll feel so good supporting this station and the whole WVLP. Again, that's wvlp.org/support. So anyway, we're going to move on to our arts calendar in just a moment here. And we have a lot of things going on in Porter County. And so we'll start with that. At the Valparaiso University, they're changing their exhibit to Betty LaDuke, Social Justice Revisiting, Remembering, Reliving. And then we have Sue Hawk, the Cosmic Light Series, and Mark Fletcher, Winking Turtle Whispering. They'll have an opening reception coming up on Friday, September 6th. In fact, I just saw a preview of the show online that Greg Hertzley put up, and it looks like a great show. They're going to have a gallery talk waiting September 25th. We'll remind you all about these things as it comes closer. The Village Gallery at the Pines. They'll have Kimberly Jensen Stewart. They'll be doing a two-media, multimedia display at the Village Gallery in Valparaiso. And my exhibit just came down on Thursday, so she's going up, and we'll have a talk on Sunday, August 18th, 1:30 p.m. It's a great little gallery, and it's a great venue. Chesterton Arts Center, well, they finished, of course, their arts fair, but they have now an exhibit by our guest today, and someone you may, if you've been an Art in the Air listener for a while, Melissa Washburn. Stories in Glass, they also have a Stories in Glass, Stained Glass, and All Little Things by Melissa Washburn. She's already had her opening reception on August 11th, so if you weren't there, missed it, but the exhibit will go on. We're going to get in more to that with Melissa later. Mark Vanderwein does Critique Night every first Wednesday of each month at Chesterton Art Center at 7:30. So if you have your art piece you're working on, bring it in there. The Herb Helm Workshop, two-day workshop. There's going to be another one scheduled. The dates have not been set yet, but if you missed the one in July, they're going to try to schedule another one of those. But Lorena Gerenzi had a workshop there, and she may be doing this oil painting and then a Prismacolor workshop. You can find out the information online with the link at Chesterton Art Center. Finally, we're always looking for new instructors at the Chesterton Art Center for the fall. fall. We have some wonderful new classes we're starting, so you can contact them and find out. Art Barn in Valparaiso. Laura Isard is embroidering the imagination. She's their featured artist in the main gallery space, and then pastel paintings by Robin Feely, and they're featured in the lobby gallery. Again, the information is online at the link there, and you can find out all you want to about that. Depot Museum and Art Gallery, that's on US 12 in Beverly Shores, Keeping the Present Past. It's a group exhibition that opened on August 9th, be running through the middle of September, and you can see that they're open on the weekends, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And you can see lovely little Irene Brown there, and she'll be the kind of the host there, and also talk to you about other things going on in Dunes. The Ellen Firm Gallery features Yanko Konstantinov running through mid-September, and you can see Yanko's work there. He also had his opening on August 9th, but it's there. And then finally, Memorial Opera House. They just closed Mamma Mia, so if you missed it, you missed it. But opening September 27th through October 13th will be Agatha Christie's The Mousetrap, the only show that cannot be broadcast or made into a motion picture according to her own will. So right now, that's all we have going on in Porter County. What do you have going on
in LaPorte County?
Yes.
Thaddeus C. Gallery, located in downtown LaPorte. I just wanted to mention them. I don't really know what they're currently exhibiting.
But there is a link on their site, so you can find out what they're doing.
Dune Summer Theater, their next show starting August 23rd is Working, with performances on Fridays and Saturdays at 7 p.m., and it's based on the book by the late Chicago journalist Studs Terkel.
And one thing, we're going to have them on the show in about 3 weeks. So we met with Jeffrey and Amy at the arts thing, so it's a great show. And of course, that show is very close to my heart. It's the very first show I ever directed, and I directed it four times. So
four times.
Yeah, I finally got it right. You know.
Do they ask for a consultation?
You know, I would be happy to do that. You know, my fee is very
low. There you
go,
Jeff. Lubeznik Center for the Arts, the Chicago Imagists, before and after. This exhibit runs through October 19th, and it's showing in all three galleries. Rising Phoenix Gallery, their next exhibit will be Fun and Games by Terry Duncan, and her exhibit features mixed media pieces that include paintings and found objects suspended in layers of cast resin. SFC Gallery is exhibiting the original watercolors by Terry Armstrong through the month of August. Southern Shore Art Association, their exhibit is titled Travel, Places, and Faces. Whether it's across the street, across town, state, country, or continents, there's always something new or intriguing that catches the artist's interest. Runs through August. There is a call for artists for the September 2019 juried photography show, and that is curated by Larry right here. So it's titled Your Best Shot from September 6th to September 29th, and sign-up deadline is August 28th, and there will be various awards, Best in Show, awards for Best People Portrait, Best Nature Animal, Best Still Life, Best Scenic Landscape, Seascape, Best Building and Structure. So I think you can find something within those categories. So submit.
And Trent Albert will be the juror.
All right. Bling Contemporary Art at 1709 Franklin Street. They're in between exhibits right now. Nest, new exhibit is Robert Serko's Me, Myself, and Eyes, Recent Paintings and Drawings. We had Robert's work 2 years ago, so we're very, very happy to have all this new work. So please come in and see that exhibit. Drum Circle at 6:30 p.m. with Don Wenig. We just changed the date on that, so it'll be every first Friday from September on. August 17th, Ondine, a mermaid gathering and perfume launch from 3 to 5 p.m. Central Standard. And Doreen will give a fun, informative, interactive presentation about perfumery techniques, natural aromatics, and the creation of Ondine. And she'll dish up some mermaid lore, and I'll dish up some mermaid snacks. It's a, you know, all ages event. August 17th, the Every Kind of Talent Show with Captain Ambivalent at 7 p.m. Yeah, da-da-da-da. Every third Saturday, it's open mic meets vaudeville meets show and tell. On August 24th at 6:30 p.m., a jazz evening with Billy and Renee Foster. We're really looking forward to that. And we, Billy, Renee, and I are cooking up some more jazz for you, so we'll keep you informed about that. Friday, August 30th at 5:30 p.m., a free Tai Chi Easy and Qigong class with Christy Putnam. Saturday, September 14th, will be the first Writing Out Loud program. It's the 35th edition of the Writing Out Loud program, and usually it's at the Michigan City Public Library, but for this four-part series, it's going to be held in the Nest. So September 14th, September 28th, October 12th, and November 2nd. So details on those events, the Nest Michigan City Facebook page, and that's it for LaPorte.
Very good. And as you know, you can see all of our information on the events link on our page, breck.com/AOTA. Well, we'll move on to Lake County. 119th Street Artists at the Cornerstone Gallery, their final exhibit before they kind of fade out of existence, unfortunately. It'll features...
That just sounds so final. They're going to be absorbed in wonderful ways by the community.
Well, we hope so. I know they're cashing out their money, so they're actually dissolving their charter. I talked to them at their final board meeting, and the post thing is so
but they're all individual artists. So
the individual artists will probably matriculate to other places.
Yes.
So, but the final exhibit already had their opening. Actually, their opening is tonight, which is August 16th, and it runs through September 16th. It's Beyond the INU. It will feature the art of Sarah Pete Connery, Dawn Dinatopoulos, and Nia Laura Trice. And so you can see that the reception is at 6:30 to 9. And again, that's at Cornerstone Gallery, 119th Street in New York. Details online. And just down the street from them, Studio 659, they're doing Metropolination. They've already had their opening that's going to run through the end of August. And what it is about urban... flowers, things in the city, urban farming, windowsill gardens, and that's the whole picture. Again, their website's on there. They're usually there weekends, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, not on Sundays. South Shore Arts, again, doing many, many things. The Bachman Gallery still has through August 25th. If you haven't seen it, Tales from the Biosphere. That's part of the, she's the artist, seventh in the exhibit of the Outstanding Midwest Artist Series. Then the Atrium Gallery, Bob Pomeleri, Straight Shooters, Photography through September 8th. The Toll Theater, Between the Real and Imagine, Anya Decker, and she'll be doing that. That's 52nd and Holman, Cafe Fresco, Joel Tomaszewski, Then and Now. He's an artist from Highland, does portraits on a wood panel. That's going to run through the middle of September. And, of course, the final call is today, August 16th, for the Salon Show. So it's a 76 exhibit. It's curated by David Clayman. He's a professor at Dean of School at IUN. So details are online. If you get it in today, artists, that's the final thing. The Salon Show is the biggest show of their season, featuring local and artists. 61, an exhibit featuring the 61st National Park. Where is that? Well, that's the Dunes National Park. And that's at the Welcome Center, I-89-94 and Kennedy Avenue in Hammond. And they'll be running through September 21st. And if you haven't been there, there's 12 trail stops there. And without going into all the details, each one of the things are represented as part of the Dunes National Lakeshore. It's kind of an arts exhibit and fun for the family. There's sandboxes for kids to play in. So come for a great thing, great time for the family. South Lake Artist Cooperative. Slack, as they like to call themselves. They are continuing with their exhibit, China Cat Sunflower, at the Sip Coffee House No. 2 in Highland, and Texture at the Sip Coffee House in Crown Point. They now have two calls for art. They have the portrait of an artist as, and they have, and that one will be due at the end, August 16th, and Word due August 23rd. You can find out details about the actual call for art on their Facebook page. They do not have a web page, and the link is on our events page. Theater at the Center. Well, they just closed their Over the Tavern, but now they're doing a one performance on We've Only Just Begun, featuring Heidi Ketterling, and she's singing the music of Karen Carpenter. That'll be August 24th. She's doing two shows at 3 and 7 p.m. Again, you can see the link at Theater at the Center on our webpage. The Unprofessional Development by the Improv Productions, August 24th, 8 to 11, at the Carriage Court Pizza in Crown Point. Again, details on there, and they do it's actually a dedication to teachers and everything about going back to school, done by many of them who are in education, and so it's an improv comedy about returning to schools. So that's all we have for Lake County. Hey, is your information not on there? Well, it can be. Again, it's Art on the Air, WVLP@gmail.com. That's Art on the Air, WVLP@gmail.com.
I'm going to have to just send notes to us.
So I guess. We actually, if you looked at our page this last time, mm-hmm. the email, we have a whole list from Chesterton Art Center. So they're on the ball. And,
yay.
And I've been sending emails to the people, say, hey, send it to this email so we get the things and everything like that. Well, we now have a voice that you probably have heard on Art on the Air prior to October of last year. She was the host of this show. You might say she was the hostess with the mostest. Melissa Washburn returns. She's an artist, illustrator, graphic designer. She lives in Valparaiso. She grew up in upstate New York, but we're going to let her tell about her history and everything. So welcome back to the microphone.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, we love having you. She's also on the board, so we have to behave here, Esther, right?
I don't behave. So.
Oh, okay. Well, that's okay. So we won't behave today on Art in the Air. We'll just be wild and everything. By the way, you are listening to WVLP 103.1 FM, Art on the Air, and also being heard on Red Hawk Radio, WIUN. So got that ID in, so we're going to do that. So, Melissa. Now, you've always interviewed other people. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your background all the way back to New York and the Adirondacks?
Sure. Well, first of all, congratulations on being on the air for almost a full year. I really appreciate what you two
Thank
have
you
done
so much
with
for the
show. You're so much more organized than I ever was. So people ask me sometimes how long I've been an artist. And I always say pretty much from the beginning, because I grew up in a household where my mother went back to school for what was called commercial art at the time, but graphic design, basically. And she always drew and painted and dragged me to oil painting classes at the Y when I was pretty little. So I picked up a brush pretty soon after picking up a pencil. I grew up in upstate New York, so very close to the foothills of the Adirondacks, basically. And, you know, decided that I wanted to get away and come back to adulthood and realize that a lot of those early experiences, hiking and
nature,
canoeing and camping in the Adirondacks, really shaped a lot of what I'm curious about and what's interesting to me and what I love. So I've really gone back to that as an illustrator and as an adult. And living here in Northwest Indiana, of course, we have the dunes, and you know, which is a very, very special place in terms of the natural world, and our new national park there, and everything. So I've been able to really continue with those interests. So there's groups and tours and hikes to go birding and looking at insects, and you know, a lot of great science going on. So it's been wonderful.
So where do you so you grew up there? You didn't come here till the mid '90s, but what tell us about your schooling a little bit.
I went to a small public high school in upstate New York, and thankfully I had excellent art teachers. High school was not a great time for me socially, let's just say that. And
that's because you're kind of rebellious in nature, right?
A little bit, yeah. So I had great art teachers and was able to really pursue anything I was interested in as far as art. And as I mentioned, both my mother and my stepfather were artists. So, you know, I was getting a lot of art instruction outside of school as well, learning how to do screen printing and oil painting and all these things. So when I got to college, I decided I wanted to study art, which my parents at that point were kind of horrified. They had been hoping I would find, you know, a real
become the lawyer in the family, right?
Something. So I did get a BFA in painting and printmaking.
And where'd you get that from?
Binghamton University, okay. Which is one of the SUNY schools in Western New York. That's where I met my husband. And in college, we weren't really given a whole lot of career prep. There was not even any classes on how to approach galleries. They just kind of patted you on the head and said, okay, go to New York now. And I was not ready for that. I wanted to go see the world and do things, but I really didn't know how to start being an artist. So I moved to Indiana with my boyfriend at the time, now my husband. He had a full ride at IU for graduate school, and I knew IU had a good art program and some other programs I was interested in. So we moved to Bloomington with an 87 Jeep Wagoneer and a small U-Haul filled with our few belongings. And
art supplies.
Some art supplies. And I did start painting in the basement. I still kind of didn't know what I was going to be doing. I ended up going to IU for my master's degree in arts administration because my thought was, if I can't figure out how to be an artist, at least I can be around art and be working with art. So I worked in the museum field for a number of years. I worked for the Indianapolis Museum of Art. I worked at their gallery in Columbus. I worked at the main museum under the director of exhibitions, which was wonderful. I learned a lot about the nonprofit world and management and administration, and started doing a little graphic design at the time when I was handling marketing for the gallery. And I was like, well, this is something that I'm really interested in, and started doing some learning on my own and taking some classes. So when we started moving around for my husband's postdoc position, I was able to find a job as a graphic designer And it was only probably about 10 years ago that I started to realize that illustration was even a thing. Like, that had always been a bad word when I was in college. Well, that work is very illustrative because it was considered commercial. So it was tainted. It was not fine art. It was not, you know, about ideas. And so I've had to kind of untrain myself as an adult to go, no, there's nothing wrong with illustration. And that really tends to be where my tastes are. It tends to be what interests me. And I think that one of the things that I love about illustration is it's kind of a democratizing force in art. Not everyone can afford a painting that costs thousands of dollars, but anyone can pick up a tote bag or appreciate an illustration in a magazine. And so I love that by doing that kind of work, my art is out there in front of people, and it's connecting with people who are, you know, in the case of editorial illustration, the people who are writing articles. I'm getting to do art about issues and topics that are of interest to me. And it's just opened up this whole new world. So I've been on my own doing more of that kind of work for the last 5 years now.
So that's like, so it's kind of interesting because your work sort of shifted. And I'm wondering now if that was when you said, okay, this is what I want to do, that it just really allowed you to have a looseness about it and a, I don't know, there's like more passion in your work now.
Definitely, because I finally gave myself permission to stop worrying about what other people were expecting and just make the things that I really wanted to make. And there's a lot of advice given to illustrators starting out. You know, you have to pay attention to trends and you have to look at the market. And yeah, you need to be aware of those things. But I think myself included, everyone I know who's really gotten work consistently as an illustrator has had a point of view and has been making personal work that they're really passionate about. And that tends to be what people notice and what people hire you for. So, you know, I was known for a while for drawing birds and I still love birds, but now I've gone down this rabbit hole of insects.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's fun to really get interested in something and, you know, make as much work about it as you can and keep
and
asking questions.
And the way you place the insects too, like I think it's a cicada, like it's like there's, and I know that it's probably not the moon, but there's like a moon shape above it and it's like so beautiful.
Yeah.
It's
and like, I'm very interested in surface pattern design as well. So looking at just pattern and symmetry and things that are, you know, maybe kind of surface and flat in terms of arrangement. I've never been great at kind of 3D scenes and filling all that out. I love to take one subject and just put it front and center and really, really study.
Focus on
the textures and the shapes and
the wings.
Yeah.
You know, you were talking about illustration versus art, and a very famous person suffered from that was Norman Rockwell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was technically an illustrator, but we now look at all his work as fine art.
Yeah.
If you look at everything that he's done. So.
And Wyeth, and that, you know, there's a lot of the classics, but I think there's a lot of crossover now too, and I think digital art has helped that. But so many illustrators who are at the top of their game and people I really look up to also show in galleries and, you know, sell commissions. And you almost have to do all of it to make a living. But there are galleries now that just specialize in illustrators, but, you know, with original work being sold.
I know. So. There's a validity now to so many things that were just sort of either categorized as craft or, like, even murals.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now it's, like, very prestigious to do murals. Where back in, like, the 70s when we were doing them, it wasn't the same as it is doing a mural now. So.
Yeah. And I think it's all good. I mean, I think
so many of those borders
were maybe arbitrary in a way, and I'm not quite sure why they needed to exist, but
before we get off illustration, if someone out there is interested in you doing some work for them, how would they get a hold of you? Do you have a website?
My website is melissawashburn.com.
So that's very easy, folks.
For people who maybe can't afford custom work, I do have an online shop, so I sell some of my work as prints and other types of merchandise, but I am available for commercial work for magazines, businesses, fashion, things like that. So
do they, because you have a really impressive client list, and so do they reach out to you with a specific project generally?
Generally, yeah. I mean, I do a lot of promotion through postcard mailings, emails, and so forth, but One of my favorite things to do is editorial illustration. So for books and magazines, and generally, you know, the art director at the magazine will email me and say, okay, we've got an article on this topic. We're kind of thinking about this. Are you available? And they tell you what the budget is. And you kind of know going in what the concept is. And you go through a process where you give them a couple of sketches. They kind of pick the direction. You go to finals. And yeah.
And if you want to wear some of her artwork and support the station at the same time, Melissa designed two great T-shirts.
Fabulous
one all
t-shirts.
Black with the owl on it and the white one. What's the bird that's on the one?
Dove?
The dove. The early bird is a
bird.
Gray cat bird.
Okay.
And the night owl is a barn owl.
So, but if you're interested in supporting the station, you contact the phone number or anything. We'll be happy to get that out. And you'll support WVLP at the same time.
Yeah, they're great shirts.
They're great shirts, too.
And I'm not just saying that because I made them.
No, they are. That's why I thought I'd bring it up.
I have one. I wear it.
Well, I bought the black one, so I thought that was
kind of... The black one's been way more popular than the white one.
Yeah.
And if you go to the WVLP, I don't know if it's linked on the website yet. There's a link on the Facebook page, I believe. We do have a shop link, so there's a WVLP shop through Threadless, and you can order tote bags, stickers, coffee mugs, and T-shirts with that same artwork or the classic WVLP.
So we're going to have to get some things on there that we can sell for Art in the Air, you know, things like that, right?
Things like that.
Maybe we can even convince Melissa to design us something like that. So. Yeah, since we have her here as a captive thing. So. But we want to really talk about the exhibit. Now, I've already been there. So, in fact, I was taking pictures for Chester Art Center because we're archiving that to make a actual, I don't know if it's going to be a PowerPoint or video for our gala coming up. So I've been shooting all of them. But anyway, I got to see the exhibit. But tell us a little bit about that. It's called All Little Things.
Yeah. Oh, I should look up my quote on the...
I didn't pull the quote. I should have done that.
I'll find it real quick. So it's 24 different kind of what I would call spot illustrations, mostly, of different insects and plants and birds. And a lot of them are things that were made to be part of bigger, more finished compositions. The way I tend to work is I'll do watercolor and ink bits and pieces, which I then collage together in Photoshop to make a final composition. So, you know, I have just drawers and drawers full of all these little bugs and birds and feathers and plants that I use in different projects. And I got a bunch of those framed up and they're on the walls. And the reason for the title for the show, you know, I look back to when I first moved to the Midwest. And if you're at all familiar with the landscape in upstate New York, it's, you know, these big mountains and big trees and, you know, a lot of the big animals. You've got moose and deer and, you know, I just was used to looking at things on a different scale. And when I moved to the Midwest, I would look at this flat prairie and go, well, this is just kind of like scrubby, like, what is this? But when you start really looking closer, there's so much beauty to the shapes of the flowers and the intricacies of some of these little plants that have these tiny little blooms that pollinators like, and you've got just this busy landscape buzzing with moths and butterflies and beetles and bees, and you have to get a lot closer to it. So the quote is from Rachel Carson, who of course wrote Silent Spring, big early environmentalist. The more clearly we can focus our attention on the wonders and realities of the universe about us, the less taste we shall have for destruction. And that really struck me, because when you start looking at all these little things and appreciating the way they work together and how important they are to life overall, it helps you, A, maybe get over revulsion at bugs or snakes or whatever, because they're important, they depend on each other, and they don't really care a fig about you, so why fear it or dislike it? And you start to appreciate the beauty. I mean, when you start looking at something like a dragonfly's wing, it's an absolute marvel of engineering and made up of all of these beautiful little parts. And if you can really look at the micro that way, it helps you appreciate the macro, how all those parts fit together. So that was,
I know, I love
the
veining in petals too.
Yeah.
Petals and leaves.
Yes.
Just so beautiful.
Yeah. Last fall I went through the Indiana Master Naturalist course through the DNR, and they run the course at Gabus Arboretum. But you go through, it's kind of an overview, so you go through flora and fauna and ecology and geology and all that of the dunes. But I learned a lot more about botany. And so things like the veins in a petal or a leaf, that's how classifications of plants are divided, by kind of how those things are put together. And, you know, things like, are the leaves do they come off the stem in pairs, or do they go in a spiral up the stem? And it just start looking, when you start looking at all those things like that, it just provides absolutely endless
and the patterns
material.
Are all right there. Yeah. You know, yeah. It's like,
you're listening to Art in the Air, 103.1 FM, WVLP, and also being heard on Red Hawk Radio, WIUN. And we're with Melissa Washburn, who is an artist, illustrator, and many, many other things. In fact, our art support from the Indiana Arts Commission and National Endowment Arts were due to the fact that she wrote a grant for us and got that, along with a couple of our other shows on the thing. So that's some of her art administration
skills.
I was
going to say, that's my art administration past I cannot escape.
But that's actually good for us, because we're hoping to expand. One of the things that I know at the station we'd love to have is the telephone capability coming in and being able to do things in audition mode, which we can do shows here while the show is running on the air. So those are some of the future visions here at the station, and that's partially helped because of her support.
That fabulous grant that she wrote.
I know, that's fantastic. Yeah. And both the last time we sat on, of course, we had to recuse ourselves on that particular grant. Both Esther and I sat on the grant thing this last time for Indiana Arts Commission, which is a lot of work.
You've done that. I've done it a couple times.
I know. I've already been tagged not to be the person who coordinates it this next time, because I've sat 2 years in a row. So yeah, everything. So that you're also doing arts administration also, and we'll get back to your art a little bit more. You're on the newly formed Valparaiso Arts Council.
Yeah, the Valparaiso Creative Council.
Okay.
And I'm the current board vice president of that organization. I won't talk a lot about it, but we've just launched the Creative Portal, which is a website that tells not just about the Creative Council, but is also an interactive arts calendar of everything going on in Valparaiso for the community. So, and that is at valpocreates.org. And it's really wonderful. We've had really wonderful participation from local organizations, and it's kind of one-stop shopping if you want to know what's going on in the area. So if you're looking for, you know, classes for your kids, or you're looking for some place to go hear live music on Friday night, it's all right there.
Did you do the grant for that one too? Because that was a very...
We got a grant for the public information sessions that we're running. We have one more information session for our organizations that want to sign up on the site, and then we're going to have a series just sort of for the general public introducing the site. And
is that centered mostly on just Valparaiso events at this time?
It is right now. We will be expanding, because obviously people in Valparaiso want to know what's going on in the larger area.
Sure.
But we have an all-volunteer board right now. We're all completely overworked, so we're kind of trying to figure out how to roll it out in a way that we can handle the
workload.
That's
something that maybe I'll put as a link to on our arts events calendar. I was creating a section of what I call static links, things like that. So
that would be wonderful, you know,
because we're trying to make that's out. Why so we Esther and I, the reason I started doing that is we were reading all these hyperlinks and phone numbers, and I said, you know, this is silly when we're taking
just
we're
send people
taking time
to one place, yeah,
taking time away from our guests, and we want to be able to talk to our guests. So yeah. We're so glad.
Well, and I think in terms of getting the word out there and letting people know what's going on, I really do believe that a rising tide lifts all ships. So
right.
the more arts, basically.
Well, to take a Ben Franklin quote, now this is about the revolutionary time, you know, if we don't hang together, we certainly hang separately.
Yes.
And that's true. And you see the demise of arts organizations, 119th Street, Southern Shore, you know, the building's sold, so we don't know what the status of that will be. So yeah, we need to be hanging together, you know, and everything. And that's why I'm involved with like multiple arts organizations myself, because I want to see them all flourish. And it's funny, as I'm vice president, I don't know how many of them, they said I must be in charge of all the vices. So, besides the Chesterton exhibit, I don't know if there's anything more you want to say about that. You are out doing other things, or got things coming up in the future.
Yeah. What else do I have? So I'll be showing some of that same work and maybe some other new stuff in November at FSC Gallery in Michigan City for the first Friday. And the other thing I have going on, you know, with my illustration work, obviously, I'm working on a couple of longer-term projects now. But the big thing that happened this year was I had one book that was just published and another one that will be out December, January. And it's for Quarry Books, and it's part of their Draw Like an Artist series. So they're instructional books kind of aimed at beginners and crafters and so forth. But the one that came out in June is Draw Like an Artist, 100 Plants and Flower, or 100 Flowers and Plants. And that's available at the Chesterton Art Center right now. If you're interested in that, you can pick it up. I think the cover price is $18.99. And the next volume in the series, which is 100 Realistic Animals, will be published in December, January. And both books are available also on all your favorite online retailers, so Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Amazon, what's the independent one? IndieBound. So wherever you like to buy your books. And I have them on my Etsy website as well. So it's 100 different flowers and plants, everything from houseplants and familiar flowers like roses and hibiscus to I threw in some garden vegetables and some herbs and some pollinator-friendly plants. I made sure milkweed was in there.
Exactly.
And so each page is 6 to 8 steps of starting with kind of geometric shapes and working up through a finished drawing. And the preface kind of has some tips for materials and drawing exercises and so forth.
Can you give us a preview on the animals? What animals will be featured?
100 of them. 100. There's some birds like in there because it's me. And, you know, my publisher was and my editor were fantastic.
Like possums they and all our...
Yeah, there's possums. So there's pets. So there's a couple different breeds of dog and cat and then kittens and puppies and then farm animals, zoo animals, wild animals.
Oh, great.
And it's mostly mammals, but there's some lizards and snakes and things like that in there too. And yeah, my publisher was great. They gave me a lot of freedom to come up with the list for both books that I wanted to use. And this was my first experience working on a book, working with a publisher. And I did the two back to back. So I literally had a year where every week I knew I had to sit down and do 6 full drawings. And the process I used was doing pencil sketches of the finished subject and then scanning and going to the iPad and actually drawing on the iPad to do the steps. And when you look at the book, it all looks hand-drawn, but it was actually done digitally. So, but that gave me some flexibility in sort of building the layers and moving things around where they needed to go.
And that's why Melissa stepped away from doing Art in the Air.
I know.
Well, it was one reason. I mean, yeah. It was a
her regular
project.
Business, too. That's really flourishing.
Yeah, it has been. It's taken a while. And when I started out, people told me, oh, it takes 3 to 5 years to really get established in illustration. And that has definitely been my experience. But this year, you know, I definitely am working full time. So, but it's wonderful. I mean, not every project is a dream. You know, clients are clients and work is work. But at the same time, you know, I have a lot of flexibility in my schedule. And most of the time I'm getting to draw things that I really like drawing. It's exciting to have new things to work on all the time. That's one of the things I like about freelance. I don't go to the same place and work on the same thing every day.
Yeah, it's all different. You know, I think the Nest needs to handle those books.
I know, I wasn't going to say it on air. I was going to ask
Well, no,
her
we can do
air,
that. No, we can do that. We can say that on the air because we're promoting art and she's an artist. And
sure, yeah, I can get you in touch with the special sales guy at Quarto. They do wholesale pricing and all that. So, yeah.
That'd be fantastic. So, what other projects do you have going on?
A couple I can't really talk about.
Okay, they're secret. Nobody's listening, so you can say it right now.
people must be
listening. No, we actually know there's a lot of people. Greg has been telling us we've reached about 3,000 on our...
That's great. I've been pursuing opportunities in licensing, which a lot of people outside the illustration industry may not know what that is. But if you look around, there is artwork on just about everything from your curtains to your T-shirt to your Kleenex box, you know. So there are all these companies that nobody's ever heard of that buy art and manufacture these products for big retailers from Target to Anthropologie to Michaels and Joann Fabrics and things like that. So I attended a trade show in New York City in May for that segment of the market to show my work alongside some colleagues. I belong to an illustration collective called Crush, and I've been part of that for about 3 years, where there's a group of 8 of us, and we met at an illustration conference a few years back and decided to kind of put our heads together to market ourselves as a group and just have a group of people to get feedback from and talk about the business and help each other with pricing and all that kind of stuff. So 4 of us from Crush went to New York for this trade show. And it was nice having each other there to support, and it made it a lot more affordable for us to do because you pay thousands of dollars to be at these things. So I made a lot of contacts there. Only one so far do I have work from, but it's a project that won't be released until the end of next year. So that's kind of weird, the timeline on some of the work in illustration. Editorial is usually a fast turnaround, so when I do a magazine piece, usually that gets published within a couple months of finishing it. So I just did one for Edible Michiana. I've worked with them a few times, so I got to illustrate some stinging nettles for them for the fall issue. So that's going to be out. It's an article about cooking with foraged plants. So that was a fun one to do.
Garlic mustard, did that make it in?
No, I did garlic mustard for Edible Indie last year. I did a whole bunch of edibles for an article they did. So that's a fun one, and they've had me back a lot, and so that's always nice. And then
you did
else?
The trail signs for Brinca Cross too.
I did. Yeah. Well, for several, I think 5 different Porter County Parks properties, and that was more a design project than an illustration project. So that's the other part of my business. I still do graphic design, and I have a lot of nonprofit clients, which I really enjoy. Porter County Parks hired me to do trail maps and brochures and signage for a bunch of the properties. So the signs at Sunset Hill, Brinca Cross, Meadowbrook, and 2 Dunn's Bridge, and 1 other are all my work. And I got to work some illustration.
Why don't you explain, maybe some of our listeners don't know, really the differences between graphic design and illustration?
Yeah, illustration, you're generally making artwork or images. Design involves typography and overall layout. So some illustrators who may do book illustration, they don't design and lay out the book. They just deliver the artwork, and a designer actually lays out the book. Since I do both, I didn't have to do it for my books. The publisher has their own design people, so that I was literally just delivering the drawings. But other projects, I will do everything from the typography to the layout to working with the printer and the whole turnkey. And it's usually different types of clients. A lot of the clients I work with, they don't really have the budget for original illustration, but I kind of work things in where I can. So for the parks, there's kind of a silhouette of different prairie plants on all the signs, so that I drew those to incorporate. So I sneak stuff in when I when I can. And what else? There was another project I was going to mention. Oh, I'm working with the Calumet Artist Residency again.
Oh,
and
very
this will be my third time. I did the residency a couple summers ago.
Why don't you explain what that is first? So
sure. Corey Hagelberg, who is an art professor at IUN. In fact,
who we've had on the show.
Yeah, he was on recently with his work at the Brower Museum. He's wonderful. He's one of my favorite people. So he has a cabin that's actually in the National Lakeshore. And they allow artists to sign up to use this space for anywhere from a few days to a few weeks to pursue personal art projects. And I applied, I think, 2 summers ago, and I went and spent a week there. And my project was really learning more about botanical art and studying pollinators. So, I went on some guided hikes with I went on one hike with an entomologist from the Field Museum to learn more about pollinators. And I was doing a lot of research of my own about botanical art, and even though my work, I call my work nature illustration, but it is not. Botanical illustration is a very specific thing. There's a very specific level of detail and set of conventions that it follows, so I don't really do that, but I wanted to learn more about it to incorporate some of those techniques into my work. And after that, they contacted me about they had some foundation money to do some public art projects in Lake County, and I ended up doing a mural at the national park. It's what I ended up doing is designing the artwork, and it was installed on a like a vinyl wrap on a shipping container that's a kayak locker at the Douglas Center in Miller Beach. So that was a cool project to do. And then, this project that we're working on for later this year is a coloring book. And it is, it's not been titled yet, but it's basically ways to fight global warming using your lawn.
Oh, yeah.
So it's about, instead of having a cultivated grass lawn that you mow, what else can you do with your lawn to help the soil, to help pollinators, to feed your family, and to fight global warming? So I'm getting to draw things like chickens and milkweed, and it's great. It's
well, there you fun. Go. Yeah, I've explored a little bit of licensing myself. And one, I probably got taken a little bit to ask. Visited Indiana a few years ago, wanted one of my covered bridge images. Mm-hmm. And so they had one firm that actually went out to get the image, and they said, oh, we're going to use it in brochures. And I said, okay. Well, I ended up, I got a email or a Facebook picture said, and my nickname's Lab, you're on a billboard. And they'd actually taken the image and used it like 6 billboards in Indianapolis,
yeah,
St. Louis.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Well, no, I did license it for and I got an okay amount. But it ended up also being a Midwest Living magazine, mm-hmm, as part of their promotion and stuff like that. But yeah, mm-hmm, and I've done some other, the one, if you go to the Whiting Beach and there's a medallion there, mm-hmm, they took my photo as a basis for that, and they kind of flipped it around a little, mm-hmm, bit and added people. So So yeah, I've explored that. Yeah, it would be kind of, and I also, with another firm locally, they do some things that they print on different stuff. So yeah, licensing is a fun deal to do.
It's gotten increasingly difficult to get into, and prices have really been depressed for a number of reasons. But the nice thing is, once you get some deals in place, it's a source of passive income. You can work on work that you want to do and then sell it to companies and just sort of sit back and get royalty checks.
Right.
Hopefully, whether it, you know, some of the markets for licensing are greeting cards and calendars and stationery, fabric, other kinds of paper goods, wallpaper, wall art. So like when you go, you know, I've seen those posts on Facebook about, you know, don't buy art from Target, buy it from real artists. Well, real artists make the art at Target too. It's just they make their money in a different way. So, you know, and I know some of the artists selling their work through those markets, and they're wonderful people. And it's, you know, the way you get paid, it's usually a percentage based on the type of market and how many they're going to produce and how long they're going to use it and so forth. But it kind of lets you retain some control over your artwork. Because you have a contract that specifies, you know, certain uses for a certain amount of time in certain territory. So
very good. By the way, you're listening to Melissa Washburn telling us about her art, her illustrations on WVLP 103.1 FM. And then you're listening to Art on the Air. And again, we're being carried at WIUN Red Hawk Radio. So we have about a few minutes left here. Tell us about what else is in your coming up in. Well, one of the questions I had is, do you work from a photograph originally, like especially with the insects and things? You start with
that? I tend to, yeah. If I can get real specimens, it's wonderful. When I was working on birds, I was spending a lot of time at the Field Museum, because if you're a member at the Field Museum, you can call them up and say, I want to see all of the crows in your collection. And you go there and they will pull out drawers full of dead birds for you to work from. And, you know, that's good for getting color and texture and things, looking up close. But to get more lifelike poses and things, yeah, you do have to rely on photographs a lot. So I either look for, you know, Creative Commons photos that are royalty free to use, or sometimes I'll just look at a lot of different references and sort of combine into my own iteration of a thing. So.
Right, because those specimens are so good for feather placement and color. But then you want it to be alive.
So. Yeah, well, because it's hard. I'm really in awe of people who can do field sketching. It's one thing to do it with plants, but to do it with animals and birds, that just blows my mind, because you have to be able to work that fast while something's moving around is really difficult.
Is there something you haven't done in art yet that you'd like to do? I mean, is there something, you know, that you have not explored? And
subject-wise or market-wise?
Yeah, subject-wise or market-wise, or both.
Probably both. I mean, I really want to do greeting cards. I mean, I don't not do greeting cards. I print some of my own, and I also work with a company called Card Isle. They do like a print-on-demand greeting card. But, you know, I want to see my greeting cards in you know, Target and Trader Joe's and stuff. So, and I'm working on those folks. I know they're not listening now, but I've met some of them. They're lovely folks. And it's just a matter of having the right art at the right time.
Right.
You know, it's such a tricky thing. But I'm going to keep trying. And that, you know, that's one thing about being an illustrator. And, you know, you have to have a lot of different sources of income. And you have to keep making things. And you have to keep sending it to people. It's not like you're just going to make a magic thing and then everyone's going to be knocking your door down. It is a constant process of communicating with people and marketing yourself. So that does get tiring sometimes. Subject matter-wise, you know, I'm just pretty deep in the bugs and flowers thing right now. I'm working on a calendar that's my personal calendar. I try to do one every year to like give as a gift to clients and also to sell. So I'm kind of knee deep in the artwork for that right now. And it's on pollinators. So I'm doing a lot of plants and bugs. You know, I don't know. I'm sure the next thing will reveal itself to me when it's time.
So what about the fruit animation that's on your site? When was that? And that was so cool.
That's pretty recent. I need to do more animation, because a lot of illustrators are doing just really fun, really simple animations. And the cool thing is a lot of magazines are buying them for their websites. So you might get hired to do an illustration for the print magazine, but then they want something moving for their website, which is cool. But this I really credit this website with kind of kicking off my illustration career, but there's a website called They Draw and Cook, and it is illustrated recipes by artists from around the world. And it's just, you know, you just make your own work and submit it. Sometimes they have certain themes. They'll be asking for artwork, and they Sally and Nate, who run the website, are amazing. They're both illustrators, and actually Nate runs a sister website called They Draw and Travel, so it's illustrated maps. Oh. So I took an online class with Sally Swindell way back in the beginning when I had first gone out on my own, and that was the thing that really got me into making the work that became the style that I have now. And it's just a really fun website. There's an amazing recipes there. They've published a few books. I was in one of their books. And I love illustrating food as well. Like, that's the other part of, I always say I illustrate nature and food. So I've done a lot of illustrated recipes. And that was where the fruit came from. They had a challenge that was eat the rainbow. And I was like, all right, what can I do for this? And I was like, well, fruit comes in, you know, a million different colors. So I just started painting every fruit I could think of, and I put them all together in this just pattern of, you know, just the entire
abundance, a pattern of abundance.
Exactly.
They're beautiful.
And then I thought, well, what if I kind of, you know, animated this kind of space filling up with fruit? So if you go to my website, it's right on the homepage.
It's very fun.
There's a lot of information. You know, we're both looking at the website as we're doing the interview here, and there's lots of neat stuff. And you actually also have a blog that's linked to that. So.
Kind of, yeah. Tumblr's gotten a little weird. I don't go on there a whole lot, but I am planning a blog post for later this year. A lot of illustrators, there's a lot more discussion going on in the illustration community about pricing, charging appropriately, how to make a living as an illustrator. And I had been kind of thinking, well, gee, maybe it would be helpful for people at the end of the year if I do a little like pie chart breakdown of where my income comes from and
right.
what my overhead is. A lot of people don't get that. You know, it's people kind of be taken aback. Well, why do you charge that? And it's like, well, I have to pay for all these things every month, from my software to my supplies to business insurance to accounting. And then, you know, you have to charge based on use, because the reality is you can't draw 40 hours a week. This isn't like making widgets where you're paid directly on an hourly basis for what you do. It really has to be value-based. But another illustrator who I really love, she posted exactly that type of post the other day on Twitter, just literally a pie chart of here, you know, this is what percentage of my income is from commissions and from licensing and from print-on-demand sales and from editorial. And I just think it's really helpful for people to see that, both other illustrators and clients, to kind of understand what that landscape looks like. So I'll get on Tumblr one more time this year.
Well, you know, that also brings me to the question I was going to ask, and you're kind of hitting on. If someone, a young person, an artist, and they're looking about illustration, what would advice you would give them? Like, you know, let's say someone like just graduating high school has got a fair mm-hmm. artistic talent. Take them through what you know, they say, Melissa, how can I do what you do? And
yeah, learn how to draw. No, I'm serious.
No, I mean,
I think sometimes you see young people pushing style before learning the basics. Mm-hmm. And it's going to serve you well. Even for graphic designers, it's going to serve you well to know how to draw from life. And I don't do enough of it anymore, but boy, that's all I did for a few years when I was in school. And be nice to people. That sounds really simple, but illustration is a small world, and art directors move all the time. If they like you and they move to a new organization, they're going to hire you and you're going to have twice the clients. And it just, you know, there's no room for ego and being rude to people, either up or down from where you're at. And networking is really, really important. The only reason I got the book job, there's 100 illustrators at least that could have done those books, but I happened to sit on a bus to an event next to the editor when I was at the last Icon Illustration Conference, and we had a really good conversation. So when that title came up a couple weeks later, I was the first person she called. And granted, my work was a good fit for the project.
Right,
you're not
sure.
going to get work if your work's not a good fit, but it just was happenstance. So just give yourself opportunities to meet people. And I think most younger people know how to use the internet, because the internet and the online community has been incredibly valuable to me. My work comes from all over the country. I'm not, you know, I do have some local clients, but the bulk of my business now is publications and companies elsewhere. And my colleagues and the people who I really rely on for advice and inspiration are all over the planet. And I interact with them through Facebook groups, through Twitter. And, you know, that's amazing to find your tribe of people. So
finding your tribe of people, that's a very good piece of advice. And, you know, the other thing I've always told, you know, working like I did in theater, and I give young people this advice, is don't make unnecessary enemies. There's enough people that will hate you in life for breathing air, but don't look for a fight, and be pleasant, be nice to people. And that's such a great advice for any kind of career, but in the arts, true. Especially because,
but know what you're talking about too. I think especially with pricing, you know, there's this really horrible trend for companies to have contests or give work for exposure, and it hurts all of us when people take those opportunities, because it's, you know, it's harder for me to charge what I charge when person over here is going to do it for free. It's fine if you're, it's great if you're in a position to work for free, but most of us aren't. So let's keep illustration pricing fair,
and that
for
works
everyone.
For photography too. There's a lot of people, you'll take these and you'll be great for exposure. Well, exposure doesn't pay the bills, and you know, if you shoot with the kind of pro equipment I do,
I mean, it costs money.
The last camera I bought was $3,600,
and that's not to say that I don't work for free. If there is a cause I'm involved in, an organization that I have a direct connection with, and it's work that I want to do on my terms, absolutely. Artwork I did for WVLP that was on my own time, and I wanted to. It was a thing I wanted to do. So, but there's a difference between that and doing something because you think it may be a good opportunity. Because remember, you know, when that mega corporation is looking for, having a logo contest, you're one of thousands of people that's going to submit. They're just looking for as many choices as possible for as little money as possible. And I really think the best work comes out of a good client artist relationship, when they say, these are the parameters of what we need, we're going to pick people whose portfolio demonstrates that they can do that kind of work, and we're going to compensate them appropriately. There's no reason that shouldn't be the way the transaction works.
Now, you have an online portfolio, and you might need to have we're getting to the end here, but tell us about how putting a portfolio together for, again, I'm thinking of a young artist either going for illustration or just an artist in general, how to do that.
I am not the best person to ask about that.
Well, you're art administration.
I didn't go to school for illustration. Okay. I've never been in a position of buying illustration. I know if you're in a big city, there are opportunities to meet directly with art directors and show a physical printed
portfolio. Well, let's talk about your portfolio then.
My portfolio, I mean, I rely mostly on digital. My website is my portfolio. When I'm contacting art directors, either via email or postcard, I'm picking one or two of my best pieces and putting those in front of in front of people. And then, you know, you only want to show your best work. You don't want to show too many different styles unless you really have a strong body of work in each of those styles. And, you know, a lot of times publications, companies will have their art guidelines on their website. So read those. Everybody asks for something different. So do your research and know what someone wants to see before
it's
you
true.
Send
I like
it
off. You said that you sent postcards because it really depends on my day how I'm going to react to a cold call on something. So some days it's okay, but some days it's... It's not.
Yeah, I know.
So.
I'm like a millennial. I never call anybody.
You don't like to do phone,
No.
No, I mean just walking into someplace and saying,
Here
make
it an appointment. I think it's rude to drop in on people unannounced. It's not, be respectful of people's time.
Any final thoughts? You got about a minute here to
go to the Chesterton Art Center. All the Little Things is up through August 28th. And get to know your backyard bugs a little bit. They're not so scary. I am a bug evangelist now, I will say.
Well, there you go. That's it. We have Melissa Washburn here today, artist, illustrator, and his exhibit at Chesterton Arts Center. That's downtown Chester at 4th and Broadway. You've been listening to Art on the Air. We're here every Friday at 11 a.m. live, rebroadcast on Monday at 5 p.m. Your hosts, Larry Breckner and Esther Golden. I always like to thank Greg Kovach for helping us out here,
station manager.
Underwriters for Art on the Air, Valparaiso University's Brouwer Museum, and Walt Breininger, owner of the building. We also are supported by the India Arts Commission Project Grant, which is part of the National Endowment for the Arts. Hey, if you're interested in being a guest and sending us arts information or arts-related event, anything like that, it's artontheair@wvlp@gmail.com. Next week, we have from the horse thing, the horse healing.
Stacey Garcelon, yes.
Stacey Garcelon. She'll be our guest next week. And so we hope
Anam Kara.
Amakara. So that'll be a neat, interesting departure. So we'll see you right here next week at 103.1 FM and WVLP. I'm going to get that VLP all right. .org. Art on the Air.
Thank you.
Aloha, everyone.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry are on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther are on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself.